Hi, I'm Michelle Blue. I started my first business just 2 weeks after graduating college.
Who are you? That's a question of life.
There is a dream that we all have within us. I believe if that dream is given to you, then it's up to you to bring it forth into the world. As a coach and host, I support women like you to create the life and business of your dreams.
Not being too committed to whatever destination you've set in your head,
right,
but being committed to the journey.
Through conversations with influential entrepreneurs and thought leaders, we dive into the mindset, spiritual, and success principles needed to step into your power. I'm with you every step of the way. And just know that the beauty lies within the journey. You're watching The Journey with Blue.
If you have been struggling with your relationship with money and are ready to attract more into your life, today I'm discussing how you can step into the abundance and create the life and business of your dreams. Today's guest is Kara Stevens.
Kara Stevens is the founder of the award-winning financial wellness company, The Frugal Feminista, author of Heal Your Relationship with Money, as well as a trusted money and career coach for Essence Magazine. So, if you're ready to go from broke to abundance on your journey and receive the riches that are available to you, then stay tuned.
So, Kara, let's get into this, right? So, let's talk about money. I think it's one of those conversations a lot of times we avoid.
Right.
It's taboo. We don't want to talk about it. We don't talk about how much money we make. I don't know. It's just like this whole covert thing. And I'm realizing if we don't have conversations around it, and if we don't actually get open about what we're going through with money, then we can't move from the places that we're in. And so it's so needed for financial and money experts like you to like step up and say, okay, yes, money is just a tool, but if we don't heal our relationship with money, then we can't attract more money into our lives.
Exactly.
And so, okay, your book, which I did get in time to read, Heal Your Relationship with Money. I was like, what's everything that I needed is understand your money why. Let go of your financial dysfunction, because I think we all got some, and make peace with your money life in just 28 days. So tell me the reason. Why did you even write this book?
I wrote the book because all the things that I wrote about, I lived. And so the dysfunctional relationship with money, the distorted thinking around money, the limited beliefs around money, the childhood where it was wrought with lots of financial stories that were of lack and scarcity, that was my story. And I realized that I was going to continue to be in this loop of scarcity, of fear, of not really tapping into my power financially and just spiritually, emotionally, if I really didn't get to the heart of why was it that despite all of the opportunities and all of the degrees that I had and all of the actual abundance right outside of me, it was still out of my grasp. And so what I had to do, I had to go on a journey,
right,
you know, when it came to understanding my money and why, despite maybe having a five-figure job and then a six-figure job, there was still this sense of fear and angst and anxiety. And it wasn't until I started to unpack my childhood experience with money and the various messages that I had learned about money and internalized about money, was I able to say, wait a minute, those beliefs no longer serve me. Those beliefs were my parents' beliefs, not my beliefs.
Right.
And as an adult, I have the agency to rewrite those narratives, but it may take time to retrain yourself to do so. So that's what the book is about. It's like a love story to my childhood. It's a love story to a money love story to all the women and men out there that are trying to make sense of why do they have all this struggle around money, and knowing that with the right set of support and tools,
right,
they'll be able to overcome it, because abundance is everyone's birthright, but it's just a matter of being able to access it, and that really comes first in the mind.
And you know, I think it's interesting because you said, okay, I went from five figures to six figures. Mm-hmm. And I think we all think, okay, if I just have more money.
Right.
Right? Like, that's mm-hmm. the missing key. If I just have more money, then everything is going to be perfect. Right. But I can see, you know, people in all, you know, stages of my life, mm-hmm. people who are making five figures, six mm-hmm. figures, to million plus dollars.
Right.
And the conversation really doesn't change that much.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people are still saying, if I had more money.
Right.
And I'm like, what? How yeah. are you still having the same conversation
mm-hmm.
and you're making six figures or a hundred, you know, millions of dollars?
Right.
And so we get so focused on adding to our outer world.
Right.
Right? Of getting the degrees or a different job or whatever the case may be. And that's not really the answer.
Mm-mm.
You know?
I don't think it is the answer. I think that part of it is really helping you understand what is your why.
Mm-hmm.
What has money been taught to you to mean? And for a lot of people, it's meant love. It's said it's been a proxy for status, for power, for comfort, for pleasure. When it's really an exchange of it's an exchange for a product or a service, and sometimes even an exchange of energy, but it's become this thing that we've become beholden to. And if we're not able to really see and detach ourselves from it in those ways, it'll always have some type of hold over us. We'll always never know when enough is enough.
Right.
We'll never ever know when I really don't want to buy this thing. I really just need to have a good conversation. Or maybe what I need is more healing in my life, not more material things.
Mm-hmm.
And when we stop and think about what are the actual money messages or the money movies that I have playing in my head all the time, when we're able to do that, then we take the first step in healing our relationship with money.
Right.
And I know growing up, my mother's money story was a large part of my money story because I was a child. And mm-hmm. so her money story was rooted in a love story that went sour.
Yeah.
My mother and father were married, and then until they weren't. And he wasn't trying to have a wife and 2.5 kids in the United States. So he up and left to go to Antigua, leaving her to be the financial caregiver and financial breadwinner in one fell swoop. And she was not ready for that emotionally and financially. And she went to a deep depression, you know. And oftentimes Black women, especially from the Caribbean, aren't taught that it's okay to seek support for such a devastation.
Right.
But rather than get the support, she dug deep and hid herself and collapsed herself into herself. And the advice that she gave me as her only daughter and her youngest was, listen, don't be trusting these men with money.
Mm.
You need to get that education. You need to keep that head down. Get all the education that you can, because there's no one out there that's going to support you and kind of ride for you except you. And while there are some benefits to that belief in a sense of having ambition, being self-sufficient, when it's rooted in this belief of scarcity,
of fear,
right. Don't take risks, this risk aversion, it always keeps you looking for more
mm-hmm.
without realizing that you've gotten what you're looking for.
Right.
And so I know that's a lot of other women's stories that are watching now. And I just want to let you know that you can have a different relationship with the money, a different relationship for all those things that it permeates.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, a lot of, like you said, these stories and these thoughts and how we think, like how we think of money, is a lot of times not our own story.
Right.
It's just what's passed down to us.
Right.
It's what, you know, our mother said about money around, it could be anything.
Right.
Like, money isn't grown on trees.
Right.
Or like yelling to turn the lights off.
Right.
Or it could be such a range of different things, right?
Or hiding purchases so your daddy won't see, right?
Right.
Or telling you to lie on the phone to the bill collector to say
mm-hmm.
that you're not there. Like, there's
right.
so many things that
yeah.
come with that.
Or feeling like you couldn't do certain activities
mm-hmm.
because you didn't have the money,
right?
And then you saw your friends doing
mm-hmm.
those things, or So those are the things that shape our narrative. Mm-hmm. And those are some of the bad, or I won't say bad mm-hmm. things, but some on the other side. But even if money is in abundance, right? You start thinking, oh, okay, well, money, I can just use it flippantly or whatever the case may be.
Or people can be bought and sold because you have money, or you have more power, or you're more important because you have money.
Right.
Right. Or people only want you because you have money.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so whatever, you know, wherever you stand, we do have this conversation with money. Mm-hmm. We do have a relationship whether we know it or not.
Exactly.
And so it's like you have to check in and see, okay, well, what is my thought process around money? What is my relationship? How do I feel? And what were some of the things that were taught? What are some of the behaviors and things that were, you know, that I learned and took on my own?
Yeah, and I think that after I was able to realize that my mom, you know, she was like, education is first. You need to be able to have multiple streams of income, which is a positive perspective. She taught me, too, that it's always okay to instill this sense of self-sufficiency in your children. So you want your children to have more than what you had. But I also think, too, that the rewriting had to come because some of the beliefs, though they may serve you in certain ways, can only get you but so far. Mm-hmm. And so what I had to eventually do was to rewrite some of those narratives so it allowed me to have peace in my life and peace with my money. And so, for example, the idea that men aren't to be trusted with money is a very, in her experience, she didn't, you know, maybe she shouldn't have trusted, but it doesn't mean you shouldn't trust all men.
Right.
And then if you're in a position where you know that one of our basic needs as a human being is love and companionship, mm-hmm. how are you going to have that belief and then still pursue a relationship that's going to be healthy as well?
So then you're guarded there.
Right. So I had to learn how to rewrite that because it was going to impact my marriage, and it did at the beginning. Mm-hmm. So I had to say, no, some men aren't to be trusted, but I trust myself to choose the person that I can trust with my life and my money. Mm-hmm. And being able to rewrite that narrative, it's a realistic, it's rational, it's empowering, it raises your vibration, and it's the abundance mindset. So yeah, not all people should be trusted, but I choose to trust the person because I trust myself and I trust that person.
Right.
And having that belief system, because you could choose either way to believe. You can believe that you shouldn't trust anybody, or you choose to trust with some discernment. Mm-hmm. And one belief system allows you to open yourself up to opportunities in a thoughtful way, and another closes yourself off from all opportunities. Mm-hmm. So I think that what I try to do in Heal Your Relationship with Money is to teach women and men, how do I think about my thinking?
Right.
Mm. Like, what do I really think? And do I really believe it? And who taught me that? And how can I change that? And it's just in this, the language of how you take that same message and flip it with some subtle nuanced language where it seems realistic to you, mm-hmm. you know? It won't be so pie in the sky like, all people should be trusted. No, that's not thoughtful.
Yeah.
But when you break it down to something that feels right and makes sense, you'll be able to believe it more, mm-hmm. and then your actions will follow and your habits will follow as well.
Right. Mm-hmm. And one thing I love about this book, mm-hmm. it's a 28-day mm-hmm. guide.
Right.
But I haven't gotten a chance to mm-hmm. actually do mm-hmm. the assignments, but it's like mm-hmm. you give space
right.
for people to write in right. and, you know, to do the work.
Right.
Right. Because I think the first step is having that awareness. Like right. you said, see what you're thinking, mm-hmm. like, and actually question that. So right. once you have that awareness around, you know, what is it that I'm thinking? And also, what is it that I'm feeling right. when it comes to money.
Right.
And this is something I had to catch myself about, mm-hmm. especially being in New York when mm-hmm. everything's so expensive mm-hmm. and I like start clamoring mm-hmm. When I hear a tab for mm-hmm. this and a tab for that and on top of rent.
Right.
You know, I used to like, my body would yeah. clamor and yeah. I didn't even realize it,
right.
you know? And this understanding of like being in tune with your body and having that like emotional intelligence as well. But I had to check myself because I'm like, why am I clamoring? Why am I like shrinking when it came to money, right? Why did I have a level of anxiety mm-hmm. when it came to money? Mm-hmm. And that was a message mm-hmm. to money, mm-hmm. right? That I'm in lack.
Right.
That I'm off my track.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. And I think that it's good that, because the messages sometimes are verbal, but they are, a lot of times they're felt in the body. It's a felt sensation. And I think we have to tune into our bodies, and the way we can do that is often by having a practice around, like, when I know I'm about to approach a large purchase, mm-hmm. or I'm about to open up a bill that you may feel fearful about, take a scan of your body and see where you feel it, and acknowledge that this is causing you a little bit of anxiety, but know too that it's better that you move forward with opening it up or with the purchase, because along that you'll create a plan of action that will help you allay some of the anxiety or move to action. So for a large purchase, the idea of spending a lot of money can trigger you.
Right.
Because of, you may think that I won't be able to replace the money. Mm. Or you may not trust the fact that you made this big purchase. Or you may feel that it's getting you deeper into debt. Or you may feel, yes.
I was gonna say, even feeling I'm not worthy.
Mm. Yeah.
That's a huge one too.
It is. I was actually on a phone call with a woman that wanted possible coaching with me, and I shared my price, and it's not the most expensive, but it's also not the cheapest. And she gasped. And I told her, and she's like, I've never invested in myself at that level. And I said, well, maybe you should try, even if it's not with me, with somebody else, because the idea of investing yourself is okay. But she didn't bring herself to that. And what I wanted to let her know in our closing call was that in the end, you rise to the occasion and to the level of your investment. And mm-hmm. some of the problems that you're looking to solve are on the other side of that mindset. And mm-hmm. so for some of us, it may be a battle for right. us to see, we see only the cost, but not the value.
Right.
And we might have always thought that if something is of high value, of high cost, then someone's trying to rip you off. Mm-hmm. Or that if there's no difference between high prices and low prices, it's just a matter of what the retailer wants. And in some cases, they may pad on some extra costs, but sometimes there may be extra quality, or you're buying convenience, or you're buying a shortcut. And so you have to see the value in it. And you have to see that a price or a cost now leads to benefits for decades to come.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times what we're thinking is like we're moving in a place of scarcity mm-hmm. and not in a place of an abundance, mm-hmm. right? And so it's how do we make those shifts?
Yeah, so I think that part of being able to move forward is having both an idea of what your values are mm-hmm. and then looking at your budget and seeing, in fact, if what you say you care about is actually, you're using the money as a tool to actually acquire or achieve that.
Right.
For example, if you say you love to travel, and pre and post COVID, but you haven't put any money aside, or you don't have a travel fund, even if it's for a staycation, or if it's like a small getaway, or something even larger across country, or even internationally, if you don't have any place in your budget that you're consistently saving for travel, then we have to ask, do you really care about travel, or is other money going toward taking away from your travel money?
Right.
So is it is it that you want to be fresh to death? You know, is it like, do you have to eat gourmet every day? But if you say travel is like your heart and your soul, it's like your sanctuary, then let's see that in your budget.
Right.
If you say that self-care is number one in your life, but we look at your receipts, and I do this with my coaching clients, you say self-care is your thing, girl, I'm okay, I'm with you. So show me where, mm-hmm. show me.
Right.
Because I see a lot of Uber, you mm-hmm. know, or I see a lot of dining, or I see a lot of CVS. Can I say CVS?
Yes.
Okay, sure. Like a lot of like convenience store debits. I see a lot of things that don't really show that self-care, and self-care for you may mean a personal trainer, mm-hmm. or may mean a weekly spa treatment, or may mean a weekly foot rub because you're on your feet all day, you're a nurse or a teacher or something like that. Your budget isn't a deprivation system. Mm-hmm. It's a system that allows you to live abundantly right. when you use it, and you use it well, and you use it mindfully. So I can say for myself that I don't love handbags. That's not my thing. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to catch me with anything like that in my budget or in my expenditure. But I do love a good spa. So, and I will spend on it freely mm-hmm. because I put aside money for it, and it right. adds extra value to my life. Whether it be because it gives me a sense of luxury, it gives me an oasis away from home, it gives me the actual benefits of having someone rub me and, like, you know, get my knots out. I understand that's what I care about, and so that's where my money comes, where my money goes. Right. And I think part of that is understanding that it's sometimes not more money. It's the idea that, what am I doing with it? But then sometimes if you realize that you need more money, then we can figure out other ways that you can bring in more money. But the first step is to actually know what's going on with what you say you care about, with what you say money is to you, right. and with what you're doing with it.
So, I mean, that's a good point, right? So it's the whole alignment, making sure mm-hmm. that what you say is actually congruent mm-hmm. to the things that you're actually doing.
Right.
And I think a lot of times we all get out of whack with right. that, right? But even as we, and also to change how we think about budgeting, mm-hmm. because I think we all think about budgeting as like deprivation, right. like all the restrictions, all the things that I can't do that I right. gotta cut out.
Right.
But it also mm-hmm. sets you up for freedom.
Of course.
Right? It sets you up to actually do the things that you are more in alignment or more in tune with the values that you have for your life. So mm-hmm. I think that's a really good shift mm-hmm. and something that even, you know, I had to move around too. Right. It's like, okay, the budget is here to serve me,
right.
not to trap me in.
Right.
But, you know, I think another piece of this, which is huge, is just the mindset around money.
Right.
And I think you said it great. Mm-hmm. You said money is your birthright.
Right.
Or being rich.
Right.
Is your birthright.
Yeah.
It's your birthright. Mm-hmm. It's my birthright. Mm-hmm. It's all of our birthright. Right. And so a lot of times we stay in these confines and think like, oh, I'm just going to make
right.
$50,000, $70,000, mm-hmm. whatever the case may be, because we think that that big number mm-hmm. is too big for us.
Correct.
And I would love to figure out, well, how do we make that shift? How will we, like, the thoughts, like we said, the negative and limiting beliefs, and this is, you know, a lot of the work that I do with, the negative and limiting beliefs, how do we get over those blocks that we have around money, that it's not meant for us, that it's just reserved for that select few or for those special people, or that someone else must have something special that we don't have.
Right. Well, I think that it starts with, you can't always go from 0 to 10 because mm-hmm. that may overwhelm you. But if you think first that you want to achieve a certain amount of money, what I think you can do is think about, well, what kind of things do you want to do with that money, right? And then do it in a small way. So say, for example, you want to eat at fancy restaurants because you think that's what wealth is about. So how about if you can't go necessarily to have an entree, you go for the lunch mm-hmm. menu, or you go for a drink because you're going to be sitting in that abundance. And then that might motivate you to say, mm-hmm. okay, you know what? I like this. This yes. is exactly what I'm looking for. Now, what is it that I have to do in order to be able to have more of this in my life and not be in debt? Like, what kind of income is required of me? If that is something that you're thinking, I want more income, what is it required of me? What can I do? And I think that's when you begin to tap into, what are my gifts? Mm-hmm. What's my purpose? Am I actually maximizing my time? Is there someone in my network that I can reach out to that can support me in an endeavor or an idea that I had placed aside because I never thought it would amount to anything? Because when it comes to the idea of abundance being your birthright, it's really stemming from this idea of, I have what it takes to achieve what I want in all areas. Because mm-hmm. how you do one thing in your life is often how you do a lot of
everything.
Right. So if you think that you can't have the money that you want, whatever that number is, you're probably thinking, I can't have the body that I want, or I can't have the love life that I want, or I can't have the home that I want. And so it's a reoccurring theme throughout mm-hmm. your whole life. So I think the first step is to tell the truth about the lie.
Mm.
And the way, you do, you tell the truth about the lie, and you tell yourself, well, you actually say, I can get this. It may not be easy. It may not be overnight, but I can. And then you start thinking about, what have I already done that I thought I couldn't do? What are some of the thoughts that I think about when I think about money and jotting them down? What are the things that I feel about money and jotting them down? And not judging yourself, I think part of that, because that creates even another spiral of shame. These are your thoughts. You could think something else.
Yeah.
And that sounds very easy to say, but the more you do it, the easier it becomes. At first, it may seem like you're lying to yourself because this is a new way of thinking. This is like your true financial voice that's trying to emerge that has been silenced by lots of other people's beliefs that have toppled and come down on yours. Mm-hmm. And you haven't really had an opportunity to really get in touch with your financial voice and cultivate it in a way and bring it out.
Right.
And sometimes, like even in the book, I talk about your financial alter ego. Like, who is she or who is he? And the same way that Beyonce had like her Sasha Fierce,
mm-hmm.
that's a part of you. She is a part of you, or he's a part of you. And mine is KK, and she wears like jumpsuits and cat suits and lots of glitter.
Whatever she's she does. Slaying out
right,
here.
Right. And that is part of me. And so even if you can't fully step into who you know you can be financially, tap into the small person that's growing, that's already there waiting for you to be like, come on, girl, you know you want to. You mm-hmm. know you can do it. You know you can slay. Or you know that you can travel around the world. Or you know that you want to go get that latte. Get mm-hmm. that latte. Mm-hmm. Let's find the money for it.
Right.
Don't say no. Say, how can I? And I think that's part of being able to step into your abundance is, these are my circumstances, but they're very temporary. Mm-hmm. Right? And if I don't have the money, how can I find the money?
Right.
If I don't have the money, it's just a matter of time before I get it. And I think that has been my greatest mindset shift throughout my whole journey with my relationship with money. I can replace what has been spent. Things that are spent are investments mm-hmm. that I may see the benefit right now, but sometimes I'll see it down the line. I trust myself and my skills and my abilities. I have so many degrees. I mean, come on now. You know, a lot of us are watching, we have so many degrees and so many skills that we've been able to pour into other people. Clearly, I'm capable of being able to do what I want mm-hmm. with this life. So I think that you just have to be your number one cheerleader. And if you can't be a number one cheerleader, I highly suggest reading books that help pour into you to help change your mindset. Podcasts, shows like this that immerse you in that abundance mindset until you're able to find your own abundance voice.
Right. And I love that you brought up Sasha Fierce and just the mm-hmm. whole alter ego mm-hmm. because it's one of those things that you have to turn on.
Right.
Right. And so I say, and this is something I even speak mm-hmm. to myself, like I try on my wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So like you said, sometimes if it's like a restaurant mm-hmm. that, you know, I mm-hmm. may not necessarily be able to mm-hmm. afford at the mm-hmm. time, or that purse, or that right. whatever the case mm-hmm. might be, I don't let my emotions shift.
Right.
Right. Because like I said, before I used to shrink.
Right.
Before I used to be like, oh my gosh, I can't afford this.
Right.
Now I stand more empowered.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to say I'm going to buy that bag now,
right.
but I'm empowered in my decision. And I say, oh, not right now.
Right. Not yet.
Or not yet. Right. And so I'm making that decision.
Right.
That decision isn't happening to me.
Right.
And so I think that's what stepping into our power about money is all about.
Yeah.
And so now I don't have this bad relationship with
right.
money. Now
mm-hmm.
it's not like, oh, I don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like, oh, it's coming.
Right.
It's
right.
already mine.
Right.
And even an affirmation, and I saw this on Instagram, but this girl was like, money loves me. Money is my friend.
Right.
Right? Money wants to come and sit on this sofa and
right.
talk with me and hang
right.
out with me.
Right.
And so that sounds like kind of quirky,
mm-hmm.
but that's exactly how I think we should affirm ourselves around money. It's not this like looming out of reach thing,
mm-hmm.
but it's right here.
Right.
And it's waiting for me to use it
right.
and, you know, and just change again the narrative around it. So there's
right.
so many affirmations that we can start saying
mm-hmm.
that shifts our energy
right.
around money.
Yeah. And I mean, as an entrepreneur who is possibly thinking that COVID or some type of where we are right now is going to keep you from business, an affirmation that you can have is people are happy to pay me, mm-hmm. and they will thank me for the services that I provide. Or money, I attract money easily independent of what's going on in the world. I am capable, I'm powerful, and the price is the price, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that those affirmations can help you because I would be naive to say that things can't get to you.
Right.
That's not what we're talking about.
Because they do.
Because they do. I'm going to be realistic. However, it's the idea that you can see what it is, be a little bit detached, and then say, the conclusion is up to me. Mm-hmm. Because there are people that are thriving during the pandemic. There are people that have pivoted during the pandemic and now are thriving. There are mm-hmm. people that have said, kind of decided to put their hands up and just close shop. That doesn't mean that you get to decide where those things are in terms of, especially if you're an entrepreneur online, there's a lot of opportunity for you that your ideal customer is still waiting for you to show up for them so you can lead them. Mm-hmm. And I think when you begin to have those visualizations as well, in addition to your affirmations about, well, what do I want my next client to say when she purchases? You know, there was this one time I was doing a conference and I was very afraid to sell something, but before I remember I visualized myself swiping and smiling,
There you go, girl. Put yourself in that moment.
I did. And when I got there, it was easy for me to swipe and smile because I've been practicing in my brain before I got there.
You visualize it, verbalize it, mm-hmm. and emotionalize it.
Yeah.
And when that like trifecta of things, because mm-hmm. I think sometimes we visualize and verbalize, mm-hmm. but what you said is like you actually took that on mm-hmm. of, again, the money is coming through.
Right.
I'm excited.
Right.
Oh, that contract, that email right. is here. Like, right. Feel it.
Yes.
Really embody it.
Yes.
Get excited. Scream yeah. if you yeah. have to.
Yeah.
And that is a key. Like, mm-hmm. really, that is the secret to the wealth. And so whether it's through, I think it starts mm-hmm. with the healing process.
Right.
Is having that awareness of where you are, what's coming up for you, what are the triggers, what are the beliefs and the stories that we're holding on to that are keeping us back. And from there, we can step into the abundance that is our birthright.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that going back to the idea of budgeting, when you begin to attach the prospect of budgeting to a feeling that you want to feel and to an activity that you want to do, you're more likely to save more and save longer. So say rather than just have an account in your bank, you label it, mm-hmm. you know, Michelle Blue's post-production in Hawaii or something.
Mm.
And then look at that, you know, your arms went up. You just like, yes.
I put in money into that, right. I'm excited.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Or quit this 9-to-5 fund and then say deuces to this boss. So you happy mm-hmm. to put money in there and you put a timeline on it. So 2022, 2021. And when you, you know, memorialize it that way, when you label it that way, it brings the emotional part into it. And then it gives you something to look forward to. Because a lot of us are not wired to think about the future. But if you put a picture and paint the picture for yourself, you work backwards to say, I want to get there faster.
Mm-hmm.
And that improves your ability to budget because mm-hmm. you're saving with soul. You're saving mm-hmm. with the purpose.
Yeah.
And that gets it more exciting, more juicy. And one last thing in terms of how you can become a little bit more, have a better relationship with money is if you put aside money to splurge. Put a line item in your budget for splurging, and then you can consistently use that money every month. But if you're like, oh, I don't need to splurge this month, you look at how much you've saved up, and then you splurge at that amount. So say you decided that after 6 months of putting money aside, you have $600 of splurge money. Take a small trip, you know? Buy yourself the bag without the guilt.
Right.
Because life isn't just about the pursuit of the wealth. It's the enjoyment and the journey
mm-hmm.
and making sure that you are able to balance all that along the way.
Oh, thank you so much. I am so excited
mm-hmm.
to go through and do these exercises mm-hmm. as I continuously heal my relationship with money. Mm-hmm. And as I step into more abundance, because I need it, I'm claiming it. It is already here. It's sitting with me.
Yes.
And it's available to us all. Mm-hmm. And so thank you so much, Kara, for this conversation. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for this work, because it's so needed, specifically in our community. So it's so felt. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Michelle, for having me and having this platform to allow us to be able to share our thoughts and help change our generation's view on money.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm so glad you enjoyed this conversation. Make sure you're following along with the journey with Blue. I don't want you to miss out, so like and subscribe below to get more transformational conversations. Follow me on Instagram at TheMichelleBlue. And head over to thejourneywithblue.com, where I'm giving you my free Taking the Leap ebook when you sign up for my Blue's Clues email newsletter. I look forward to supporting you in creating the life and business of your dreams. You're never alone in the journey. Until next time, Blue.